And that is why we are here at Hustle Humbly.
Sharing.
Bringing the round table to you.
That's right. Join our circle.
Join our circle. They canceled and risked their $90,000 deposit. Thanks, but we're canceling now.
No thanks.
You thought you were going to send me a cancellation.
Your wishes.
You a cancel.
Your wishes came true.
I haven't had any loopholes, but lots of realtors make the joke that if your buyer gets cold feet, advise them to go buy a car. Hi, y'all. Welcome to Hustle Humbly. It's Alyssa and Katie, and we are two top-producing realtors in the Baton Rouge market.
We work for two different companies where we should be competitors, but we have chosen community over competition.
The goal of our podcast is to encourage you to find your own way in business.
So stop comparing yourself and start embracing your strengths.
Hi, Alyssa.
Hey, Katie.
Welcome. It's episode 240.
Okay. Loopholes.
Loopholes.
That's it. Just loopholes.
Just a reminder to tidy up those contracts out there.
Button them up, you know?
Yeah. Make sure you're crossing your T's and dotting your I's.
The terminology button up is funny to me. We're doing this yard project, and so the chickens were allowed in part of the yard, but they had to be moved to their other area so that they could redo the grass. All right.
Right.
And Jay has to get in the ditch and like move the nets and all this stuff. And then he comes in, he's like, okay, chicken's all buttoned up. And I'm
like, buttoned up.
We're going to button up those contracts.
Yes. And I guess now instead of like crossing your T's and dotting your I's, it's like, make sure it's helpful to use blue ink when you're typing your contract, you know, things like that.
Right. Okay. Well, those are contract tips.
Yeah.
Let's define loophole. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
An ambiguity or inadequacy in the law or set of rules.
Okay.
I mean, that's not what I was expecting, but we all use that terminology, right?
That makes sense.
A loophole.
Like, it's legal. A loophole, you technically have a legal out.
Right, but there's ambiguity, right? Okay, so I'm so glad you brought that up because, first of all, I would like to point out that committing fraud is not the same thing as finding a loophole in a contract.
Correct.
Right? So we're going to get into that a little bit more. But loopholes would be something that happens in your contract that it would be allowed to be like, hey, you didn't meet the terms of this contract, so it is null and void.
Sure.
Every contract is different in every state.
Yes.
We operate under a different penal code, so ours are specifically a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to try and just have more of a broad conversation, and we got lots of listener stories.
We do have listener stories from around the country. So
yeah.
I think this episode, if anything, will be a good reminder as we're about to enter the busy season of summer to make sure that your contracts that you're writing are tight.
Yeah.
When you're representing the seller,
yeah,
you are on your game, making sure things are happening as they are supposed to be happening.
Yes. Oh, you know, I need to go find my, I think I have a page. I'll remember it though.
Okay.
We were at the title office, remember, last week, and they were telling us they only could list a couple of loopholes.
Yeah.
Truly, the rest of it is fraud.
Fraud.
It's not a loophole in the contract.
Fraud is when people lie. They know something is wrong with the property, or they know what they're doing is in violation of the contract.
Or they buy a car the day before closing so that their loan won't be approved.
I know.
That's technically fraud. Now, is it easy to prove? Maybe not. But it isn't a loophole in a contract.
Right.
I feel like also we're both watching Suits. And so I'm like, contractually speaking, I'm always like, where's the like angle, right?
Yes.
Like, how can we get out of this?
Right.
But really, buyers have all the outs.
They do.
And sellers need the loopholes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you want to start us off on a story?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. Once upon a time. Oh, is that me?
I think so.
Once upon a time.
You left your phone on for the show?
It's never on.
Go.
Once upon a time, I had a buyer who the husband and wife were maybe not in agreement in what kind of home they wanted.
Okay.
Wife was sort of the driver of this transaction.
Yeah, somebody has to drive.
Somebody has to drive. And husband begrudgingly agreed to this newer home that was almost complete.
Okay.
Even though husband wanted an older home to get more land.
Okay.
More space.
I'm not loving this already.
I know. But they agree. They sign a purchase agreement. The house has been started but is not yet finished, so they were able to pay for some upgrades.
Mm-hmm.
And when in this situation, the money you spent on upgrades is your deposit, basically. You do not get that money back.
Right.
Like if anything happens, even if it's your fault or not, that money is gone.
Right.
Because it was upgrades that you chose.
Right. The builder would not have put them in except if they were building a spec.
Yes. So that is all signed off on. Mm-hmm. They designed a beautiful home. The upgraded granite and upgraded appliance packages were lovely. And it's finished. And we're, you know, doing final walkthrough type things.
Okay.
Only for the wife to call me and say she feels like a bad wife for not giving her husband more input in this decision and that they would like to cancel the contract. Wife is also an attorney.
Oh, no. Oh, my. Where is this going to go?
So I reminded wife, you know, we are past all of our contingency periods, the home appraised, we already did inspections, we close next week. So at this point, we're sort of locked in. Mm-hmm. She's like, on the contrary, on the purchase agreement, in our Louisiana purchase agreement, there is a place where we put an interest rate. And if the interest rate goes above that, the buyer has the option to cancel. Well, since we were building,
it was a long time.
It went up by about 0.125.
Oh, my.
Just enough that most buyers would have just moved forward because they want the house. In this situation, she was looking for a legal way out. And this was it.
Oh, my.
And making a phone call like that is embarrassing.
Very.
Not fun. Made me very angry. But it is what it is. I just think that these are the, you know, there's so many blanks on any purchase agreement that you just think, oh, I put this here every time, or I do this, or I do this, or.
Or nobody ever fills that out.
Or they leave it blank.
Right.
So there, in this situation, it was just a good reminder that you need to put some cushion.
Yeah, what you put there matters.
On what you put there.
Yeah.
Because I always, before this, I tried to put it pretty close to what their pre-approval letter was for.
Yeah.
But that was allowing it to be used as a loophole. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I had put, like, say it was, I had put 7.0 and it went up to 7.125.
Yeah.
If I would have put 7.25 or 7.5, we would have still been contractually obligated to move forward on this home. And I have to explain when my purchasers go, now I give cushion and I tell my buyers, what is in this blank is not your interest rate.
Right. It's just what you're willing to accept as an interest rate.
It just means if the interest rate goes higher than that and you're not comfortable with your numbers anymore, you could cancel.
Yeah.
If it goes higher than that and you're still comfortable with your numbers,
keep going.
We don't have to cancel.
Yeah.
So even though this buyer was comfortable with her numbers, she used it as a loophole to cancel the contract. This is what I love about our Monday morning meetings at the office, because we all start out in a circle and we start off with like something like this, something bizarre. That has never happened to me yet. And even though I've been in the business since 2011, I'm learning from people who have been in the business 1 year. Things that they are encountering that make me go, oh my gosh, I never thought about that. And that is why we are here at Hustle Humbly.
Sharing.
Bringing the round table to you.
That's right. Join our circle.
Join our circle. Learn from the things we have been through. Get your real estate wheels thinking. So that you will be better educated, a better realtor.
Yeah. Did you continue working with that buyer?
No.
Yeah, that's fair.
And they did buy another home and I
did
don't.
Did they fire you or you fired?
I just said
this can't.
I cannot actually work with you anymore.
Good for you. I like that. That you were like, sorry.
No.
I can't.
And they knew what house they were going to go buy. And I was just like,
Is it just that they had kept searching during the course of this time?
I said many times, because I knew there was tension, are you sure? Right. I don't want to be the agent that sends – how I operate my business, I am not the agent that sends cancellations.
Yeah.
Unless there is a very good reason.
Right.
And I knew they weren't on the same page, and I didn't appreciate – it's not how I conduct business.
Yeah. They made you look bad.
They did. And to wait until the last minute, and they just wanted it to be like, what? We're not doing anything illegal.
Okay, but you know what's interesting about that? So when we were talking to the title attorneys last week about this, and this particular loophole, because it is a loophole, this one came up. It's probably the only one. I mean, buyers have lots of outs in a contract if they follow the rules.
Yeah.
This one is more of a loophole, but they did say, and you probably could have said, look, it's in bad faith because we're week out and you've already signed off on your interest rate. Mm-hmm. So technically, if you wanted to pull this card, you had to pull it sooner.
The most frustrating thing about loopholes is that to fight them well costs money.
Yeah.
And you have to get an attorney. She is an attorney. I actually talked to the – when I presented this, I let the builder know this was – not something I advised. It was something I let them know I did not approve of, but I'm at the mercy of my client.
Mm-hmm.
I asked the builder if he wanted to investigate it further with the lender. Did he want to fight anything? And he said no. He was like, you know, it's a beautiful home. I'll just list it as a...
It'll sell.
Yeah. And I think he did okay, but I just... You know, it's just not how I do business. Mm-hmm. Even though technically it's legal, the way that it was handled is not how I operate.
Yeah. All right. Are you ready for it? Let's move on from them.
Yeah.
Troublemakers.
Troublemakers.
All people who need a loophole are in a little way troublemakers.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. They're trying to find an out. Now, sellers are stuck, so they need to use a loophole. I think we want to also point out that as an agent, you should know your contract inside and out.
Yeah.
What are all the blanks?
Yeah.
What happens? Where are there loopholes? How can you avoid them?
I think it's good to say, why is this blank here?
Yeah.
This blank that I have never used, why is it here? For example, we have a blank that automatically extends the contract if there's a title defect.
Yes, and you have to put in a number of days.
Yes. We see anything from 5 to 15 to 30.
Yep.
I think we've always put 15.
Like, I put 15.
Yeah, I think that's just how I was trained. And I mean, I kind of knew what that section meant. But until it is applied, you're like, oh, I see. Mm-hmm. That is why this is important.
Yeah.
So I did have a situation where we had a title issue. A neighbor had put something on this property because of a fence encroachment.
Okay.
Making it to where the encroachment had to be settled before the house could be sold.
Okay.
It was not caught until like a week before closing.
And it takes time.
And it takes time.
Yeah.
Well, now I know we had 25 days.
Oh.
Because we had 10 days until closing, plus 15 per the automatic extension in the purchase agreement. So it was like 25 days, guys. If we want to make this work, like this is what we have, unless all parties agree to extend.
Right.
Again, the reason this gets stressful is because the loophole card is pulled when someone wants out.
Yeah.
If all parties are still trying to get to the act of sale,
you never get to this.
This doesn't matter because everyone just happily signs off on an extension.
Right.
But when people are looking, this is where these blanks and what you put in them in the purchase agreement become so important.
Agree. Okay, shall we hear a story from a listener?
Yes.
Are you ready? I had a 10-acre property for sale. I'm the second listing agent. After 3 months, we received two offers. The offer chosen had a home inspection contingency section. The inspection was very normal, and my seller said he would be willing to make all necessary repairs.
Okay.
Great.
It had a house on it?
Yeah, I guess. Okay. At the end of the day, Mr. Buyer would never tell Mr. Seller what to do, and Mrs. Seller ultimately decided she did not want to live in the country. We took their offer over a separate cash offer we received at the same time. Even though we all knew it wasn't the home inspection that was the problem, they still burned my sellers for that.
Oh, Mr. Buyer, Miss Buyer.
Yeah, correct.
Miss Buyer decided she no longer wanted to live in the country. She didn't want
it
anymore.
It wasn't the inspection. They just said. But if it's during the inspection period, that, not a loophole, just a way to get out of your contract, right?
Yes. But I think that brings up a good point for this other listener deal that we had. And it's a reminder how different things are around the country.
Oh, good. Let's hear it.
So in our market, during your 10-day due diligence period, you can back out because of anything.
Yes.
Like you just can have a bad dream. And
right.
And I've had that happen. And, you know, they said, I can't buy this house because of this dream vision. I'm like, okay. It happens. Okay. And you can do that legally here in Louisiana.
Yep.
Not everywhere, though. So this agent that works in Florida, and I think this is a great topic because I wouldn't mind buying something in Florida one day. I don't know if I ever will, but this is something to think about.
Okay, good.
It's like if you live in a area where people are buying second homes or vacation homes or Airbnbs, they may assume that they understand real estate because I'm a realtor in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand how different contracts can be. So this agent said, not really a loophole, but I have had buyers cancel over things and breach their contract and lost their deposit. Florida has a lot of buyers coming from out of state, and they expect our contracts and transactions to work the same as they do back home.
Oh, good point.
And even though with our thorough explanation, they sometimes have not understood how different it can be. One buyer had the inspection on a beautiful home built in 2015. The roof had no issues, but they were worried that one day it could have an issue. So they thought they would just cancel at their sole discretion because they were in their inspection period.
But okay, so here they could have.
Here they could have in Florida, Louisiana. In Florida. But here's what else is interesting. I would also like to add that Florida has two different contracts. A standard FAR bar and an as-is. With the as-is, you can cancel at your sole discretion within the inspection period.
Okay.
But these clients chose to write their offer on the standard purchase agreement. And I guess they were not explained the differences. They were way more locked in than they thought they were, and they were wanting to cancel over a problem that may or may not happen.
But also, those people should not have bought a house because any roof at any time could have an issue.
Yep. Anyways, they canceled and risked their $90,000 deposit. Luckily, I was able to negotiate, and I got the buyers to give my sellers half, $45,000.
They gave up $45,000 for a roof that was only a 2015 years roof. Old?
Yeah. That could maybe one, like how much would the issue have been? You could get two roofs.
$45,000, right?
Right.
Could have covered your roof.
Yeah.
This is bananas.
Yep. She said, I have a feeling something was happening behind the scenes.
You think?
That they were not sharing with me and trying to use this loophole, only to realize the loophole was not there in this contract that they used in Florida.
Guess what? I have another out-of-state issue.
Oh my gosh.
You ready?
Yeah.
I had one almost fall through due to the term reasonable access to the property. That's in air quotes. During due diligence inspection period, I'm in Kentucky, okay? I had been referred to this out-of-state buyer from a sign call, and she went under contract on the house. Sight unseen.
Oh, man. Here we go.
Lesson learned. I'll never do that again. The sellers, who had two kids and two large dogs, were inconvenienced for days when after the general inspection, the buyer asked for mold testing, tree inspection, concrete repair quotes, among other inspections. The sellers became irate at her request for access to the home, and I was completely embarrassed asking for so much access. Legal got involved. It was a mess, all because what was reasonable access, again, we're in air quotes, to the buyer was absolutely not reasonable to the seller.
Oh.
We ended up closing, but the buyer got $0 in repair requests because she had annoyed the seller so much.
Ooh.
But that's interesting because the term is just the seller has to provide reasonable access, but they felt like you're here every day.
This is unreasonable. This is unreasonable to us and to our quality of life.
That's a good one.
That's a really good one. I also think that this is where email templates come in handy.
Yeah.
In our new contract next steps email, we tell them, like, listen, during the actual home inspection, if you need anything else a contractor, a painter, an estimate. This is our time. We don't want to disturb the seller. Mm-hmm. And even if it's a vacant house, I can't take off work like the buyer, leave every day to say, hey, I've scheduled all six of your vendors to come at six different times. I hope that works for you.
No.
That doesn't work for anybody.
No, but you should have been told on the front end as the buyer, hey, you got to make this all happen at the same time.
Yes.
As best you can.
I love when it happens at the same time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Get that all done at once.
I just had clients doing a huge remodel, and the inspector was laughing. He was like, there has never been more cars here. I said, and good news, none of it's family.
Yeah, they're all doing important stuff.
Yes, they're all here to give estimates on things and take measurements. And this is also, I think, a really good time to point them to the free resource of make sure you're sure.
Oh, yes.
You talk about it. Okay. I'm losing my voice.
That's okay. Please get something to drink. All right. So if you go to hustlehumblypodcast.com/make sure, I'm pretty sure is what it is.
I'll check it, but keep going.
Okay, fine. You can go to /freebies. It's on there.
Yeah, it's on the freebies page.
Basically, this is the email template for your for you to send your buyers, telling them what they need to be on the lookout for during an inspection period, and just kind of giving them the heads up that your inspection isn't simply for a standard home inspection. It's to check, you know, school districts, flood zones, crime, whatever you want to check, you got to do it during that time. And it's a really long, and it'll maybe help those buyers remember things they want to look at before it's too late.
So two things on the make sure you're sure sheet that have come in handy. And we would like to remind y'all that all these free resources come through things we have learned from experience. We are in the trenches with you in real estate world. So two quick stories that are on the freebie that will cover you is during your due diligence period, you mentioned school zones.
Yeah.
I had a listing and we had a buyer that came along and made an offer. Everything's looking good.
Okay.
2 weeks before closing, an announcement comes on the news that they will be rezoning the schools to accommodate for the new elementary school.
Okay.
Buyer now wants to cancel because it is no longer in the school zone that she was specifically buying for.
Mm-hmm.
They did not write in the purchase agreement, this offer is contingent on the home being an ABC primary school.
Your listing, your buyer?
My listing.
Okay.
I don't know what I would have done. I mean, if it was my buyer, like, that's sad, but again, you don't realize the magnitude of these things until they happen.
Yeah, and if that was if it was a deal breaker, it had to be.
Yes. If it's a deal breaker, it needs to be specified. Did y'all let them out? Oh, this was a few years. No, they bought.
They had to buy it.
I think they politely asked.
Right.
And we politely said no.
No, thank you.
But they didn't like come crying after that or send any sob stories. And, you know, we just showed up at closing.
Okay.
And it appeared as though things were okay. The second thing on that make sure you're sure sheet is insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Across the country right now, we are having some insurance issues everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I had a buyer, my buyer, who this was, you know, we've been through a lot of flooding changes in Louisiana.
Yeah.
So they got their home was not located in a flood zone that required flood insurance.
Yeah.
So it wasn't on my radar too much, but it's on the checklist. Like, make sure that you check all these things if you want flood insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the optional flood insurance was much higher than they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And because we were in the 10-day inspection period, they canceled. And so it was just like a messy situation.
Yeah.
But they did what they had to do. It was unfortunate, but I supported my buyer. Like, this is what your 10-day time is for.
That's what it's for.
And you're within your rights to do that. And I think that's a valid reason if it's a true concern and not something you spend financially.
Yeah.
On the flip side of that, I had a listing that was in a flood zone that required flood insurance. Mm-hmm. We shared my seller's current premium, which was high. Well, like 10 days before closing, we're done with inspections. The home has appraised. The flood insurance quotes for the buyer are coming back much higher than my seller's quote.
Okay.
So we call my seller's insurance to see if we can just transfer it. No, the policy is not transferable. They are actually putting an end to transferable flood insurance policies. Everything must be starting from scratch and reevaluated. But, and it was high, high. Mm-mm. But it was not high enough to kick the buyer out of their financing.
Right. And so they were stuck.
Listen how crazy this is. The buyer's agent sent me a cancellation due to the financing contingency.
And so?
I said, you need to have the lender send me something saying she can't approve the loan. I called the lender and I said, listen, lender, we're not going to lie here. I need to know, is the loan denied because of the required flood insurance or is the buyer just uncomfortable? Buyer's just uncomfortable. Well, that's a shame.
But not.
But you cannot send me a piece of paper saying that the loan is not approved.
Because that's fraud.
That's fraud. That would be fraud. So I know this makes me sound mean, but they had to buy it. If I was their buyer's agent, maybe things would have worked out differently. But they didn't do their due diligence in the time frame they had. And if they wanted to sue anybody, I guess it could maybe be their realtor. But sometimes you just have to look in the mirror and be like, this was my fault. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. The problem is that everybody's looking for someone to sue when they're mad.
Yeah.
So in this situation, I felt like we had done all we were supposed to do. As a buyer's agent, it is our job to remind our buyers to check insurance at a reasonable amount of time. Mm-hmm. So they had to buy it. If you have ever been pre-approved before, depending on the situation, you may notice there are many times that what you are pre-approved for is way more comfortable than you would ever feel comfortable paying.
It's a higher price.
A much higher price. But you would never go to that price because the monthly note is so outside of your – it just shows how much debt they're willing to give you. So if the flood insurance or any insurance, the homeowner's insurance is going to be that much higher, you need to figure that out during a time when you're still protected to walk away because that doesn't automatically mean your financing is denied.
Right. Okay. Good tip. How about this? They said, I don't know if this is a loophole, but I had a buyer under contract on a townhome for $199,000 using an FHA loan. But because the current owner recently purchased less than 91 days and flipped, it didn't meet the FHA flip rule. We had to cancel and then the buyer got cold feet. So we still have yet to find a house.
I wonder if, and I know this buyer got cold feet, so they didn't want the townhome anymore.
No.
But if it would have stayed on the market.
Could they
go back on like day 92 and write a new purchase agreement?
I think that I'm not going to say, but I think no.
Yeah.
It has to do with how long between it was purchased and relisted.
Yeah, I think that's too.
And that time frame is not going to change.
That's really what their FHA is concerned about is how fast was this done?
Mm-hmm.
Too fast.
Mm-hmm.
We don't feel comfortable here.
Mm-hmm.
So letting it sit there empty for another month isn't going to satisfy us.
No.
That would make sense.
All right. Now I want you to tell me the story of the deposit check.
Okay.
You had.
Yes.
Yes. You had the buyer.
Mm-hmm.
The buyer's going to provide a deposit check. Can you tell us?
Yes. Okay. Once upon a time.
Please.
I had buyers buying a precious house in a precious area. We had to act quickly because there was a lot of activity on this cute house.
Yep.
We made an offer. Mm-hmm. We won. Mm-hmm. At the time, many years ago, our purchase agreement said something along the lines of the deposit check must be delivered within a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah. Or immediately.
Yeah. Immediately. Or something vague.
It was vague.
Now it says you have like 48 hours.
Right.
Okay.
There's a time frame, a deadline.
Deadline. Back then it said immediately quickly or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we received the accepted contract. I'm working on getting the inspection scheduled. And the next morning, like less than 24 hours, I get a cancellation sent to my email from the listing agent. The listing agent saying, I'm so sorry. Your buyers did not turn in their deposit check. So we are canceling your contract. I'm like, So I said, we still have time, you know, but what is that time frame? So I am messaging my buyers. I'm like, where is it? How fast? They are hustling. This listing, basically the listing agent received a better offer.
Mm-hmm.
She's trying to kick us out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting my buyers to like get there within the hour to drop it off. I already had a copy of it, but mm-hmm. to get it to where it had to be at the mm-hmm. broker's office.
Yeah.
So they're taking off work. They're getting there, you know, whatever they have to do. Listing agent is still pushing back. So I have to call her broker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, listen, broker, this agent is exhibiting bad behavior. This is what is happening. She's like, absolutely not. We do not operate that way. I will tell her that she has to see your contract through.
Okay.
So she did. She saw our contract through mm-hmm. only for us to get to the home inspection and discover that the slab had quite a large crack in it. And it was going to be tens of thousands of dollars to repair. And even if the sellers agreed to repair it, it was going to crack the subway tile in the master shower. It was going to crack tile flooring. Like the shift was going to cause some mm-hmm. other damage. So thanks, but we're canceling thanks, on you
no,
now.
No thanks.
You thought you were going to send me a cancellation.
Your wishes.
In you a cancellation.
Your wishes came true.
That was messy, but it kind of felt good.
But they tried to kick you out.
Yeah.
Over a loophole. Oh,
yeah, they were trying to kick us out.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, another thing to think about that people don't think about when you're on the listing side.
Mm-hmm.
Say, and now I'm just giving you an example of what could have happened.
Okay.
If this listing agent would have told her sellers, hey, we can accept this contract because these buyers have not given their deposit check yet. And if they would have accepted, signed and accepted this other higher and better contract, only to find out that the broker was going to force her hand that we got the contract, those sellers could have been facing two different lawsuits.
Yeah.
Because you have signed two accepted purchase agreements mm-hmm. and you are going to default on one of them. So you're going to owe somebody. So I don't know how far I think they just wanted to accept. I don't think they had signed anything.
Yeah.
But you cannot sign anything until your first contract is canceled.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, you're already under contract.
You are under contract.
You're in a contract.
You cannot sell your house twice.
Mm-mm.
Twice.
Okay. Ooh, listen to this.
Okay.
Yes, loophole. I was on the buy side. Texas contract does not state it, but the water code allows you to cancel up to and including the day of closing if you do not get the MUD, Multiple Utility District form, signed prior to the execution of the contract. Listing agent didn't provide it. My client canceled 2 days before closing and got her earnest money back. Listing agent and seller tried to fight it. I have used this 2 times, unfortunately, despite classes out there. Many agents only take the bare minimum and do a disservice to their clients.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
It's a fascinating loophole.
So it reminds me of a condo addendum.
Yeah.
When you are buying a condo, here we have a condo addendum that says, you know, the seller is responsible for getting all these things to the buyer to review in a timely manner.
Yeah.
Again, in a timely manner.
Mm-hmm.
But usually we say during the due diligence period.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had the listing. So this was kind of a messy one. It was in January. So we're in a new year.
Okay.
And the documents like actually weren't ready because they review year prior. Okay. So if we had been in December, they have the 2022 docs ready to go.
Yeah.
Now that we're in 2024, this just happened.
Really?
I'm off to a great start this year.
Yikes.
The 2024 documents,
they want
2023,
mm-hmm.
which were not quite ready.
Mm-hmm.
And the buyer was okay with that. We had a conversation. Mm-hmm. They understood. They were willing to extend the amount of time we had. But then the HOA wasn't cooperating. And we could not get the documents. And then they promised they would get the documents by this date. But by this time, the buyer was feeling upset and was like, I don't think I want to live here.
Fair.
Because the HOA operates this way. If it's this hard to get things from the HOA.
And it's just a document.
I don't want to live here. They were trying to like finish their budgeting and like do all these things. But So there was more to it, but they were also just not keeping us informed along the way. So the buyer used that to cancel and wrote in there on the cancellation form, per the condo addendum, docs were not received in a appropriate amount of time. She had a right to do that.
I mean, that was fair.
Yeah.
Okay, that's an interesting one. What about, let's talk about letter of intent really quickly, because it's in the Louisiana contract. I don't know if other people have this, but they added this just a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And it basically is the financing section of the contract where the buyer says, I will apply for my loan in X amount, or finish applying for my loan, or whatever, within X amount of days, and provide an intent to proceed letter from my lender. Basically, that where you have signed your disclosures at your lender and said, yes, I'm going to use you as my lender.
Yes.
Okay. And there's a blank, and you have to put a number in the blank.
Yes.
And if you put the number 7 in the blank and you don't get the letter from the lender to the seller can cancel.
Yes.
It's probably the easiest loophole we have because one,
for a seller,
many people don't fill out the blank.
Right.
Or they put 2, 3, 4 days because they're like, oh, well, they already applied for their loan. Mm-hmm. But if you don't get this, the list,
letter,
the actual lender
showing,
letter, you haven't satisfied that term.
And for a minute, some people were debating who is responsible for getting this letter. Putting this in the contract makes it sound like the lender is required to give you that letter, but the lender is not a party of this contract. The lender, but no, if you are the buyer, you are signing
this contract. You have to request it from your lender.
That you have to request it from your lender. So if you are buying something as a for sale by owner or an unrepresented consumer, you need to understand that it is your job.
Yeah.
And as the buyer's agent, it is our job to explain to our buyer and to the lender what we need and when. If the timeline lapses without that letter and the seller wants to cancel, that's on you.
Right. Right.
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to tell us the story, a utilities getting turned off story?
Yeah.
Because that one, pretty...
That was scary.
Pretty good loophole, I would say, for the sellers.
Yes.
I mean, buyers. Buyers.
I had the listing and everything appeared to be going fine. The buyer was very excited, not my buyer, but the buyer's agent was good.
Yeah.
And everything seemed to be going as it should. Come to find out, the buyer was not actually planning on owner occupying the home. This is what I found out. So the lender was switching them to, they were buying it for their parents. They were buying this house so their parents could live in it.
Okay.
Well, when the lender found that out, because the buyer was basically trying to commit fraud but didn't look at it as fraud, just thought, I'm buying a house for my parents and then I don't need to disclose. I'm not renting it out. I'm just buying a house for my parents.
Yes, but it is not technically your primary residence.
Right. It is not your primary residence. So he was committing fraud a little bit unbeknowingly, but also he knew what he was doing.
Okay.
Lender found out through something and said, we have to file it as either a second home investment property type thing. So your interest rate is going to be higher.
Yeah.
The interest rate was still within the interest rate that they had put on the purchase agreement.
Okay. So loophole closed.
Loophole closed there.
Okay.
But the buyer was no longer comfortable with the monthly note and was looking for a way out.
Yeah.
The buyer's agent was so good. She was like, she was also upset with her buyer for doing this and was just wanting to make sure the law was followed.
Right.
So it's like she's representing her. I feel like she represented her buyer well while, oh, you fussed me.
I put an alarm on because we had to stop.
Oh, okay. Okay, great.
Okay.
We're going to wrap
We're
going
to finish
here.
This story.
Yeah. So, the buyer. Oh, the buyer's agent was like, hey, I went by the house. She had scheduled a walkthrough, but he did not go with her. She was like, I wanted to go do a walkthrough first.
Just to make sure no.
Just to make sure there could be.
Because she knew he was
looking for a way out. She did not feel it was right. My seller, this was just a situation where my seller did so many repairs for him. My seller moved out, all the way out. And if he wasn't buying this, she was not going to move out. Like, she had to go live with a friend for a little bit, okay? not a good situation. She was like, somehow the utilities have been turned off. And I know if we cannot get them back on, he will cancel the contract.
Because it says they have to be on.
They have to be on for the final walkthrough.
Yeah.
I am like frantically calling.
This is the day of closing?
No, she went and did the walkthrough like 2 days before.
Thank God.
So I got them back on like just in time for them to go do a walkthrough and utilities were on. So he could not cancel and we closed.
Yeah.
And it actually worked out because his parents are very happy and he's happy, but he got scared and was panicking and was trying to break the law and look for a loophole to.
Yeah, he was like, how can I get out of this?
How can I get out of this? How if the utilities are off.
But I like that the agent was mindful enough to know.
That was a good agent.
He's trying to do something a little sneaky, so we can't give him any outs.
Right. We need to make sure if there were appliances that need to be there.
Better be there.
They better be there. Mm-hmm. If there are drapes that are supposed to be there, they better be there. Whatever we agreed to.
Yeah.
Thankfully, we had negotiated money in lieu of any repairs.
Yeah.
So there was no repair.
No room
because I do think repairs are used a lot. Like, oh, well, I'm not quite happy with how this was done. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to cancel on you now.
Agree.
I've seen that plenty of times.
Absolutely. Okay, I have another story.
Okay.
Get ready for it. Yes, attorney review contingency was never countersigned by seller's attorney. So this is not things we do here, but okay.
Read the first.
The attorney review contingency. I guess there was an attorney review contingency in the offer.
Okay, the attorney had to sign it.
Was never countersigned by the seller's attorney. Okay?
Okay.
It was not intentional. It was an oversight by the attorney. Mm-hmm. Seller was my client. Seller got seller's remorse 2/3 of the way through the deal and no longer wanted to sell the property because their attorney never closed out attorney review. The contingency was still open and the seller's attorney could say they no longer approve the contract and the sellers could back out with zero legal consequence from the buyer's side. The sellers could have had legal consequences from my broker. However, the broker didn't pursue. Only asked of the sellers was to reimburse for cost of listing prep expenses. It worked out in favor of my seller, but devastating to the buyers.
Wow. Just changed his mind. All because of a missing signature.
Yes. And that was on our notes to make like signing off on the repair request, signing off on all the documents, making sure everything is timestamped the way it's supposed to be. Like, don't let a little mistake, like an extra initial that's supposed to be here, be the thing that leaves a door open where you could maybe find a loophole. Or maybe then it's going to come down to having a legal battle. And like you said earlier, a lot of people aren't going to do that. But if you have a legal leg to stand on, you'll be like, well, fight me.
Right.
Your seller's attorney didn't sign this, or you didn't initial this, or you didn't meet this deadline.
That's awful.
So I thought that was, interesting.
Yeah.
What do you got? You have a couple more?
I do. This one, the listing agent received an offer. They accepted. It came with a pre-approval letter.
Okay.
But then they started needing like extension after extension after extension. And the lender wasn't communicating well with the listing agent and the buyer. And the buyer's agent are kind of being sketchy. At the end of the day, they found out that the buyer was never pre-approved. You know how on the pre-approval letter, it'll say documents have been reviewed not. It just said like you're pre-approved based on what you've told me, based on your application. But she hadn't checked to say like documents have been reviewed. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to use a photography business income and make it usable income. And it was like this whole thing. And in the end, it never worked out. I feel like this would be a great one for the in the email templates. This is why we use the lender email template.
Yeah.
When you receive an offer, you immediately, like a pre-approval letter to me means kind of nothing. I just had a house that had been on the market for a very long time and I sent that lender email, no response, crickets when we got this offer.
Okay.
I never could read, but we had nobody else. So like, I'm still trying, but we're also accepting. And it was a pre-approval letter. They canceled. We went under contract again. I sent the same email to this one, got a response immediately and was like, oh, thank God. we're going to make
it. Yeah, you're a real lender.
Yes, you're a
who's real done a real application.
Live person. Anyway, that's a little bit of a side tangent, but I think that pre-approval letters have loopholes in them. Like,
yes, well, now they're not all created equal. No. Now, the form letter the lender I like the best uses, it has checkboxes. So it is like buyer has provided, documents have been reviewed, documents have not been reviewed. Or like,
right. Which one? Or, right. Where are we?
Has to sell their house, doesn't have to sell their house. Like, let's check off. Which one is it? Did we pull credit? Did we not pull credit? Do you know what I'm saying? So,
and what's interesting about that is I had a deal fall through one time because the lender, who was a young, newer lender at the time, issued a pre-approval letter only for us to realize it was contingent on the buyer selling his truck.
Oh, my.
And he was like, so when I told the lender, like, he couldn't sell his truck. He did, like, all this stuff to it and, like, souped it up.
Oh,
and it's
my
all
word.
Like, this is, like, you know, Louisiana problems. But anyway, he couldn't sell his truck. So I'm confused what's going on, why we're not moving forward. And the lender was like, well, I told him he could buy a house if he sold his truck. And he said he would. So I issued a pre-approval letter. I said,
that's the craziest one
it's
I've ever heard.
Contingent, though. He's like, so I'm supposed to put contingent on the buyer selling his vehicle? I'm like, yes.
They can't buy it otherwise.
If that's what it's contingent on, yes.
Oh, my
word. It's not just a house. Like, I need to know what we're getting into.
Ridiculous.
So bad.
Here's another one. So these buyers were out of their inspection period and now just had their mortgage contingency left, okay?
Okay.
Before the closing and their mortgage approval was up, one buyer broke their leg really bad. This was a big lifestyle move to an island far, far away. I love that they wrote to an island far, far away.
Far, far away.
Far, far away. And because of this big life change, they no longer felt comfortable with the big move. The lender used the fact that they couldn't move for a while, like literally move for a while, and calculated the rent they would have to pay, and that increase of monthly expense of rent disqualified them from the loan. It made me realize that technically any buyer can manipulate their expenses or DTI to get them disqualified if they really want to. And that's what I said earlier. It's fraudulent.
Yeah.
But you could go out and buy a car the day before and your loan won't go through anymore and you could pretend like you did, or maybe.
That's wrong, though.
It's wrong.
It's actually unethical.
Yeah.
Someone in response to our email asking if they had loopholes put, I haven't had any loopholes, but lots of realtors make the joke that if your buyer gets cold feet, advise them to go buy a car.
Yeah, like that's actually advising fraud.
Right.
Fraud.
Yes.
Fraud. Like people just really don't get it.
Illegal.
Do you have another one or do you want to hear another one of mine?
I'm ready for one.
Okay.
Okay, this one. I appreciate this agent's honesty, too.
Oh, okay.
The deal didn't fall through, but there was a loophole that as a less experienced agent, I missed. And when I was reading it, I was like, I've done something similar. In 2020, I had a deal where we found issues with radon on an inspection and needed a radon mitigation system. It is a colorless, odorless gas that comes up through the dirt and has to be mitigated if over a certain level. So, we requested the radon mitigation system to be installed, but we did not specify anything besides that. The seller went the least expensive route possible, which meant that the pipe with the fan went through a bedroom and outside next to the front door instead of paying more to route it through a closet or to the side of the house. It is an ugly system, and when we went to the final walkthrough, my buyer was devastated.
Fair.
Now she had a noisy fan in her child's bedroom.
Oh, no, no.
And a fat, ugly pipe right outside her front door.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I didn't specify anything other than the installation to code by a licensed company. See, she thought she was doing the right thing. She specified for it to be installed
by a licensed company.
By a licensed company. We were stuck, and I had to help her figure it out after closing. Now, I always state that the system must be installed by a licensed company to code and the location of the system must be approved by the buyer.
I had something similar happen to me.
Yeah?
Well, it wasn't like that bad, but they, during the course of the inspection, it turned out that the roof had hail damage and the seller agrees, okay, well, we'll get the insurance involved. The insurance says we will pay for the roof. Well, the seller just picked whatever like colored shingles. They didn't care.
Oh my.
And a roof lasts for, at best, it could be 15 to 30 years.
Yeah.
Right? And the then this buyer was like, we hate the color of the shingles. And I'm like, I just said you needed a new roof.
Right.
Oh, and you got a new roof.
Yeah. That is tragic. So sad.
Yeah. So
what do you think? Because I see this a lot. Roof to be replaced with like kind shingles.
Like kind is not going to do the color. Still,
yeah.
It's going to get you the same. Like instead of a three tab, you're going to get an architectural or whatever. But like kind to me means just the same type.
Wow.
Identical maybe.
Yeah.
Most similar color available.
Mm-hmm.
Or you simply, when you're picking any aesthetic kind of repair, you have to put in the words, I think, buyer to make a selection of the faucet, the whatever.
Yeah, yeah. That's why we money in lieu of repair is so much better.
Yeah, because then you can pick your color.
Oh, man. I can't believe how many loopholes there are out there.
Are you done with yours? I have one left.
Okay,
go. Well, it's very short. The inspection response stated that the seller would have a new septic system installed prior to closing. Closing day came, septic wasn't installed, so we did a mutual release. And I'm like, but that's just the seller behaving in bad faith.
Yes.
And again, could have been sued.
Yeah, they're lucky they had a buyer that really wanted the house.
But I like how they're like, we did a mutual release. I would have been like, you're going to pay me back for my inspection or something? Like, as the buyer, they didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
But the seller's just like, I just won't do it. And then you won't want to buy the house.
Right.
People get away with some stuff.
They do. Because it costs money to fight it.
Yep.
Broken system.
The system's broken.
Broken.
Right. Because if it was you lose, you pay, like for the lawsuit, then people would behave better.
Oh, yeah.
But as it is, if I want to sue someone because they did something wrong, I am still going to be out all the money to sue them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's all I have.
I thought this one was interesting. Okay. Just something you never have heard of or seen about. I had a client write an offer on a single family home that was located in a condo association. No homes had sold in the neighborhood in years. There are only 12 houses right next to Mount Vernon. Yes. The Mount Vernon of George Washington.
Wow.
The lender had 51, in parentheses, not an exaggeration, 51 appraisers turned down the job. No appraiser wanted to touch it. This is just not the type of ownership that exists in Virginia for single family homes.
51 appraisers? How did they even find?
I know. We don't even.
We don't have 51 appraisers. I could name like
nine.
Right. 12 at best.
Single family homes typically are fee simple ownership and own the land they sit on. This neighborhood is unique, but in a good way. The lender insisted on at least one comp that had this type of ownership. In the end, the lender rejected the appraisal and the loan for what they called inadequate collateral, a little phrase in the appraisal paragraph of the contract I had never noticed before. The buyer voided the contract based on the loan rejection and the appraisal contingency one day prior to closing.
Oh, why though?
I watched that house because they couldn't get it.
I know, but how did they get so close? Like,
I guess they were just fighting. Like, that probably took a lot of time. Yeah. I watched that house and saw that it went through two other contracts that both fell apart. It did eventually sell, perhaps to a cash buyer.
I would think.
That's just interesting. I wouldn't have thought, like, I just had an appraiser make. Like, the garage door came off its tracks during the home inspection when the inspector was there. But the buyer was like, don't worry about it. We'll deal with it since it, like, happened.
Care.
Yeah. But the appraiser flagged it.
Because it wasn't working.
Yeah.
They have to check to make sure all the appliances are operational.
I've never had a garage door flagged, but I guess that's the first one that's been broken.
They didn't work at all. Like, they went out and pushed the button and were like, meh. Mm-hmm. But some appraisers are so
picky.
Picky, picky, picky. Okay, so now we'll have a toast from one of our friends at the NAR conference.
Yeah, and if you liked today's episode, there are two other episodes that I thought went really well with this.
Please tell us what they were.
Episode 169, this is what happens when we don't get paid, when contracts fall apart. Other ways.
We were definitely going down that road today.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. We tried to keep it very contract related to remind you to keep a tidy contract.
Yeah.
And then episode 109. Navigating contracts.
Yeah. So how do you write them to avoid this stuff?
Yes.
And ultimately, you should be taking any class that is given, especially if your documents change from year to year and they give a class or an update. you need to go and you need to read. If you have not ever read how many pages our contract? 9?
Is it 12 now?
12? I don't know.
2024, I think it's 12.
If you haven't read every line of every page of your contract, you have no business filling it out.
Get a friend. Get together.
Right. Do one page a day.
One page a day. Write it in layman's terms.
Yeah. You have no business filling it out because you're locking these people into a contract and that maybe they're asking you a question that you're answering incorrectly.
Right.
That would be the worst case scenario.
Terrible.
Terrible. Okay. So here's our toast.
Okay.
Bye, y'all.
My name is Sunny Gensel, and I'm from Kansas, and I would like to toast the best broker around, my mom, Kathy Sheets.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Hustle Humbly podcast.
If you enjoyed this episode, please go to ratethispodcast.com/hustlehumbly and leave us a review or drop a comment if you're listening on Spotify.
If you have an episode topic or someone you'd like to toast on the show, please email us at team@hustlehumblypodcast.com.
Find us on social media at Hustle Humbly Podcast. Don't forget to find all of the free resources at hustlehumblypodcast.com/resources.
See you next week.